It is our very great and special fortune to have the association satsang this evening with His Holiness Bhaktivigyan Goswami Maharaj. We can speak for a long time about his incredible devotional service and his wonderful Vaishnava qualities. I have explained before, he was a PhD scientist, and when he started taking interest in the Hare Krishna movement during the communist regime in the 1980s, yes, the KGB, the intelligence agency of the Russian government, or the Soviet government, was very fearful. Because they considered the greatest enemies to communism was American dress, Coca-Cola, and American music, and the Hare Krishna movement. Why Hare Krishna movement? Because communism was teaching atheism. They considered religion to be a dangerous, counterproductive disturbance to the progress of society. Therefore, they propounded atheism. And they convinced their people to a very large extent. But when they read the books of the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada's books, they understood this is such a solid scientific philosophy, we cannot defeat it. If this infiltrates, it could be a very, very strong danger to the communist regime. So they brought him into their headquarters and they blasphemed the movement. They tried to convince him socially, philosophically, logically, why he should have nothing to do with us. They threatened what may happen if he gets more involved. He was just casually coming at the time. But Maharaj told us that when he saw how all day long the KGB just wouldn't let him go, because they took this movement so seriously, this movement must be very real. And Krishna, through the mouths of the KGB, helped to convince him to surrender his life and soul to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada's mission. In fact, he was in such a dangerous position as a devotee, he had to escape and leave Moscow for many years. Russia, and especially Moscow, is one of the most important cities of the world historically. We were explaining in Mayapur to the devotees how the great conqueror Napoleon conquered a major portion of Europe and was about to conquer practically all of Europe. But then he decided that his mission is not complete until and unless he conquers Moscow. He sent his troops to Moscow, and on the way, the cold, the Russian army, he was destroyed. His downfall, historically, was in trying to conquer Moscow. And another great conqueror of our 20th century was Hitler. He conquered most of Eastern Europe, most of Western Europe, England was on its knees about to crumble, and he decided his greatest passion was to conquer Moscow, such an important, powerful city in the world. And he divided his armies and sent major forces, and through Russia, the snow, the ice, the winds, the cold, and the Russian armies, and Hitler was defeated. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, in 1971, along with Shyam Sundar Prabhu and one other devotee, went into Moscow. And the result of that one visit of Srila Prabhupada for just a few days was he did what Hitler and Napoleon could not do with all of their armies and arsenals. And we have the eyewitness of that account, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, to give us some glimpse. Let us welcome His Grace, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, to Sri Radha Gopinath Thakur. After Shyam Sundar Prabhu's introduction, we will hear from His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj what he has been through and what he is going through in his service is utterly incredible. During the communist regime, anyone who became a devotee, their life was in danger. Some of us in India take it for granted, take it lightly, the chance to be in the association of devotees and to chant the holy names and hear about Krishna. One book Shyam Sundar Prabhu brought in. That book was hand-copied, Xeroxed into thousands of copies and circulated underground. Devotees were in cellars, in basements, and to have kirtan, no mridanga, no karatals, they couldn't even clap. They would just go like this with their fingers and sing. They would whisper. Sometimes they just went like this, and just in their minds they were chanting together. And many, many such persons were caught. And they were told, if you tell us every other devotee, we won't punish you. But the Russian devotees would not tell on anyone else. And many of them were sent to prisons, like concentration camps. And they were tortured, literally tortured. Cruel, violent experiments on their bodies. For years at a time. And they never gave up their faith in Krishna consciousness. That, to be a devotee in those days, for many years, that is what you had to risk. Being sent away to Siberia, in the middle of the winter lands, and imprisoned and tortured. Perhaps for the rest of your life. We have our December marathon, where we go to the railway stations, and we set up book tables, and we go to factories, and we go with people. Do you know what it is like in December in Russia? Ice, snow, freezing winds. The devotees are just out, one at a time, just distributing books to just stopping Russian people and somehow convincing them to take Prabhupada's books. The year before last, Moscow Temple won the December marathon above Juhu, Chopati, Mayapur, Los Angeles, and anyone else. Such determination. When I go to the temple in Moscow, and anyone goes, every day Srimad Bhagavatam class is about 300 devotees. And Bhagavad Gita class is average about 200-300 devotees every day. There's more enthusiasm than any of the temples in India. Very, very special project. And the main leader of the project, who has given stability and hope and faith in people through various kind of internal and external attacks, is His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj. The primary GPC of Moscow and Russia. And he travels all around. And there has been so many problems with the government, even today. So many problems within the society in the past, major disasters, and he's remained firm. And he's given so much hope and faith in so many people's lives. He's one of the most highly respected Vaishnavas of the Hare Krishna movement. He's a wonderful devotee. He's also godbrother of most of you. So I'm very honored. Actually, for all these years in Moscow, they just had a run-down, dilapidated, rented building. And that building, owned by the government, has just been sold to a contracting agent. And on the end of this month, they're going to demolish the building. There was no place for the devotees to go. They struggled, they strived. Ultimately, by incredible amount of anxiety and pressures and everything else, the devotees somehow or other got the mayor to consider giving a piece of land. An incredible land worth tens and millions of dollars in the heart of the city. Hardly a block from the main road of the city between the airport and the Kremlin. And when the Russian Orthodox Church heard about this, they went on television, radio, newspapers, magazines, trying to stop it, calling our movement a dangerous, horrible cult. But Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj and the Russian devotees fought against this in every way possible. And just within the last couple days, the mayor signed the land to the devotees. For the purpose of building a beautiful temple and cultural center for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. So I consider this a wonderful presentation in reference to Gaur Purnima. Lord Chaitanya predict Prithivityachayata Nagaradigram. In every town and village throughout the world, my name will be chanted. And Srila Prabhupada took this to heart. And just by a few days in Moscow, he planted the seed. He planted the seed that now Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj and other wonderful Vaishnavas are sacrificing so much of their lives to water that seed. And now an incredible fruit is about to ripen on the tree of their devotional service. And Maharaj is going to present a wonderful presentation on the subject. Let us very, very gratefully offer our encouragement and our appreciation to His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. At this time, I would like to request His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu, our dearmost friend and well-wisher, to explain. He's really about the only man alive who can tell us exactly what Prabhupada did and what it was like when Prabhupada went to Russia. He was Prabhupada's personal secretary, and he personally arranged the whole trip. Let us hear from Shyam Sundar Prabhu.
Thirty-two years ago, Srila Prabhupada went to Moscow. Everything started 32 years ago, and to see what he's about to show you and realize all this has happened in only 32 years will be all the greater appreciated. Actually, the Moscow Yatra, the Russian Yatra, started here in Bombay. Bombay was the launching pad for the Russian Yatra. Devotees had been trying for years to get Srila Prabhupada a visa to travel to Russia. And all attempts had failed. People in Washington, D.C. were trying. People in Germany were trying. People in England were trying. No one could get Prabhupada permission to go to Russia. You have to maybe realize a little bit what it was like in those days, 30 years ago. It was the world was firmly divided, strictly divided into two camps, the American Western European camp and the Soviet Communist camp. And there was a strict dividing line between them called the Iron Curtain, and no one could pass through. No one even thought about traveling to Russia for tourism or any other purpose. They had to sneak through the curtain. These were called spies. Spies would sneak through the curtain from time to time to try to get intelligence about the opposite side, what they were planning, what their intentions were, what their military positions were, because the whole world was expecting at any time a war to break out between Moscow and USA. So they were very different times. The world was very strictly polarized. And for Prabhupada to even think of going to Russia was just an impossible thought. But as so many things in Bombay, the impossible often happens. Radhanath Goswami was talking this morning when he was discussing Krishnadas Kaviraj's attitude for his work, that Krishna, he felt that Krishna was just working through him. A 90-year-old man, he didn't even have the physical ability to write like this, so that it must have been Krishna acting directly through his body. I feel the same way about that period, going to Moscow, that from the time the visa was granted to the time we went there and left Moscow was only a very short period of time. And it was just as if I wasn't doing anything. I was just an instrument. I didn't have any ideas about how to do anything. It just happened. It was Krishna acting through me. There's no question. He wanted Prabhupada to go there. I don't even remember how or why this visa was granted. I mean, it seems looking back that it was impossible to have been granted a tourist visa for two Americans to go with Prabhupada. But anyway, I don't want to drag this on. But anyway, the visa was granted here, and we went to Moscow. Srila Prabhupada had no fixed plan. We had to leave very quickly. They gave us only a few days to prepare. Gave us 5-day visa, and they told us you can never leave the site of a guide, a bona fide government guide. They will be with you at all times. You will be supervised. Everything you do there will be monitored. So right from the beginning, there was no plan. I was very much in anxiety how this would come out, because we didn't have any plan. Prabhupada had one invitation that had been sent to him months, maybe even more than a year before, from some professor at a university, saying simply, if you are ever in Moscow, please feel free to contact me. That's all. That's all he had. Prabhupada, that, for Prabhupada, that was enough. Prabhupada was the master at. He used to tell me that he learned on the trains in India how to do this. At first, you put your foot up, then your leg a little bit, then you scoot back and get to, and eventually you lie down. So Prabhupada only needed this little excuse. So we arrived in Moscow. There's the story of we were told not to bring any books, but Malati, being a bit of a rascal, snuck her Bhagavad Gita into my luggage. I didn't see it. And when we got to the customs, the KGB opened the suitcase, and there was my Bhagavad Gita lying there. And I went, "Oh my God, we're going into the prison. They're going to throw us in prison." And as he picked it up, all of these pictures of Prabhupada and Krishna fell out of the pages of this book. She had maybe 20 or 30 photos stuck in there, and they went all over the place. So the KGB guy was so embarrassed by this, he was running around picking things. He wasn't even looking at what they were. I mean, pictures of Krishna, God, you know, things like that. He didn't even notice what kind of book it was. He just went and shoved us on. Go on. Otherwise, we heard horror stories about even one magazine, one book, they'll arrest you and put you in jail. So they took us into Moscow, watched us every moment, monitored our every move. I was followed around on the street when I went to buy food. I could tell, I mean, it was pretty obvious these men were following me, and people approaching me and while I was waiting for food in the queues were saying, "Can you tell us about yoga?" And like that, they were trying to get me to admit something so that they could arrest us. And anyway, I want to speed this up. There was an occasion after you've all heard or read the Professor Katovsky interview or conversation between him and Prabhupada at the university. We did that the first day. Katovsky did agree to meet us. And I snuck in the tape recorder and put it under the table and recorded that conversation for posterity. Then that was it. We had four more days in Moscow with nothing to do. And Prabhupada sitting in a small hotel room. I felt great anxiety. What shall we do? What we have no plan. And by coincidence, then Krishna's plan again. The next day, shopping, I was approached by two boys, one Indian boy and one Russian boy. They asked me to change, if I had dollars to change for black market rubles. I told them no, rubles, I guess they call it, yeah. I told them no, I didn't have any dollars I wanted to change. They asked if I had jeans to change or buy. They asked me if I had any Beatles records. Beatles records, oh, they were like gold in Moscow in those days. Like you were saying, you know, Western rock and roll and the Hare Krishna movement, those were the two biggest dangers. I said, no, I don't have any of these things, but I have, in back in my hotel, I have a spiritual master. And I pointed to the Indian boy, I said, you know what a Swami is, right? And he said, sure. And he said, well, would you like to meet a genuine Swami from India? And the boy said, yes, I would. And he asked his Russian friend and told him basically what a Swami is. And he said, sure, I'll come along also. So when the time we walked in the door of that hotel room, there were 3 days left in Prabhupada's agenda in Moscow. And from the moment that boy stepped in the door, in 3 days' time, Srila Prabhupada did the most amazing job of convincing someone about Krishna that I ever got the opportunity to observe anywhere during his lifetime. He was like Nrsimha or something. I mean, he was so focused and so full of power, the walls were shaking. He took this boy and turned him into a almost pure devotee in 3 days. such potency, Srila Prabhupada. No one has ever heard of such a thing. It's like one of those stories from the Bible or something. This boy was a philosophy student, so he understood philosophy. He became convinced very quickly. He asked the most intelligent questions. Prabhupada answered everything very carefully and full of charm. Srila Prabhupada, when he wanted to be, could be the most charming person you ever saw in your life. His smile and his glow and his radiant amiability and his joking mood were so attractive to people. And in this case, he really turned on the lights. He got this boy totally convinced. And then, besides convincing him philosophically, he taught him how to cook. He taught him all of the Vedic customs, the four orders of life, and how he should conduct his activities to stay in line with that, how to eat vegetarian food, how to worship the deities, how to chant, how to do everything that you all take months to learn, that I've taken years to learn. He learned it in 3 days from Srila Prabhupada. So that's the story. And that boy who became initiated as the first devotee in Moscow went on then to plant the seeds that he got in a very potent way. In my estimation, he's a very great hero of Krishna consciousness for what he did, for what he underwent, and the other early devotees that he converted. Many were thrown in jails, prisons, these insane asylums where they underwent months and months of electric shock therapy and drug therapy. Several were sent to Siberia for years in these work camps. Many lost their lives, their limbs, their ability to think. These drugs and these electroshock made many of them insane. And they never recovered fully. Even this boy, first boy, Ananda Shanti, became his Krishna name. He's still not right, correct? Have you seen him in recent years? His brain was just damaged by that electroshock. And anyway, so to see what these boys have achieved since then is much, much more appreciated against that background. It borders the edge of unbelievable. And now Bhakti Vidyana will bring you up to date and show you all the latest marvels.
I'll say just a few words before we start the presentation. We have a little video and then multimedia presentation. To repeat the point which Shyamasundara Prabhu made, Prabhupada was extremely eager to go to Moscow. At one point, somebody told him that there is a remote opportunity to go to Moscow. And that was winter time. And winters in Moscow are heavy. Sometimes the temperature goes minus 30, minus 35. You know, you don't want to go out. Probably you will not even be able to imagine how it feels to be in such a cold. And at the same time, somebody invited Prabhupada to Hawaii. And it was a mango season in Hawaii. And Prabhupada loved mangoes, and he loved Hawaii. And he immediately said, I'll go to Moscow. Somebody asked him, why are you going to Moscow? Whereas you can go to Hawaii instead. And he said that preaching in Moscow is sweeter than the sweetest mango in Hawaii. That was his understanding. Because he knew, he had this feeling or intuition that the preaching in Moscow is very sweet. And that's a fact. Despite of all these difficulties, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj said that I had to emigrate from Russia. And I was away outside of Russia for 8 years in Sweden. And Sweden is a very social state, it's a very orderly state, and Russia is not at all orderly. It's quite chaotic. It's not almost like India. But when I had the first chance to go back, I went back, because even though from material standards it's much better on the West, but from the spiritual point of view, it's much sweeter to be in Russia. I just want to give you, to tell you a little story. And that story, actually very recent story. In fact, I learned about this story today. Radhan Maharaj mentioned about some problems which we are now undergoing. And because of this, we are trying desperately to gain some help from all different sources, all possible sources. And we found out that one of the biggest lawyers in Russia, he is the chairman of the biggest bar, lawyer's bar, perhaps the biggest lawyer in Russia, has some slight spark of the interest in yoga. And somehow or other we got in contact with him. We said, you know, you want to learn yoga, we can teach you yoga. And somehow or other we dragged him to the temple, and he met with Gopal Krishna Maharaj there, and he spoke a little bit, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj invited him to India. And he came. In fact, he is now in India. So he came just for 5 days. So we asked him, what are you going to do? He said, I will stay in a 5-star hotel in Delhi, and I will not move anywhere else. I only want to stay in a 5-star hotel. So what happened next, somehow or other, he ended up in Vrindavan, and he's already shaven up, and he wears dhoti and kurta. He's the biggest lawyer, he's the member of Russian parliament, he's, you know, anything. And now, you know, within 3 days, he has become a devotee. This is how sweet the preaching in Russia is. And so Russian people are nice. And even though, you know, I heard from so many American preachers that when they were young, they were brought up in this fear of Russians, because American people, they were always, you know, trembling that Russians are coming. And they saw the Russians are all demons. But they are not all demons. There are quite a few demons there, too. But generally, they are nice people. And they are very receptive to Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of the quotes, which we will show, he says that, I studied Russian people very carefully, and I understood they are not all atheists. They are actually nice people. That was Prabhupada's attestation. And basically because of this, his great eagerness and great desire to plant the seed of Krishna consciousness, now this seed is started giving some fruits. So I will first show you a little video about the history of Russian Yatra and development of Russian Yatra, and then I will tell about the latest stories. And it's actually very exciting to be there. Today, His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj told that, you know, the most exciting thing is to feel that Krishna is working through you. Even though you're completely useless, you cannot do anything properly, but still, because of Krishna's desire, somehow or other, something happens. And as Shyamasundara Prabhu said, Bombay is the place where impossible often becomes possible. So Russia is the place where impossible also sometimes becomes possible. So this is the story how the impossible becomes possible. If somebody can turn off the light, and then we will show this little video. Who can do this? You're doing this. Okay. And is the sound connected? The sound is connected, so they will hear the sound when the presentation goes on.
offer our sincerest prayer to Sri Radha Gopinath that Goswami Maharaj's efforts to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's dream become a reality. Let us thank Goswami Maharaj for his wonderful historical devotional service. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.